Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders podcast, the
comic book show where we talk about a different trade paperback every single week.
I'm Daniel.
My name is Nathan.
We're brothers. We read comics.
We sure do. We talk anything and everything comics all the time.
Yeah, that's the only thing we talk about. We only talk on Thursdays when we record this.
Yeah.
It's just silence from then.
Yeah. I don't like talking to you at any other time unless it's Thursday at approximately sometime after 5.
Also because we have literally nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
But how do we start this podcast, Nathan?
We start this podcast just kind of shooting the shit, you know?
That's true.
We just kind of chill out.
I'm so glad you're here. Like, Thursdays is such like a good day for me because it's the podcast. I look forward to it all week.
It's like the little things, you know?
Yeah, I'm like, just like, let's record our comic book podcast. Yeah. And then it'll just be a great day.
We'll just record our conversations like normal people do.
Yeah, man. I always like the things we say. So yeah. Let's just throw it on
I never
audio
say anything
track.
Dumb, and I honestly just think that everybody needs to hear it. You know, that's just what I think all the time.
I say some dumb things, but I want to remember the dumb things I say.
Yeah.
Can't recycle your dumb things.
Yeah, but it's nice to look forward to the little things, you know? I don't think I could ever be a person that constantly looks forward to big things that are coming down the line.
So, like, they only have, like, vacations, and that's, like, their only life.
Yeah.
Like, they don't, like...
Kill me now.
They don't like comics, they don't have a podcast or anything.
Yeah.
That... Some people are like that.
I know. And they should just start a podcast about comic books.
Exactly.
Or any other things that you like.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, welcome, everybody. Thanks for tuning in and listening. If you're new, there are time codes, hopefully in the descriptions. I still haven't confirmed if that's actually a thing that happens, but I think it's there.
I think I tried it.
And there are time codes for the news. We're going to talk about all sorts of new stuff. People joining to write DC things, people leaving DC things, all sorts of fun things.
You got that kind of tea?
I got that kind of tea.
Oh, man.
And there's time code for the book that we're reading for this week, which is Rick and Morty. And then Back Matter and the Pull List, where we talk about other random things.
Indeed.
So we will get it started with the news.
Not really news, Nathan. But did you know that Florence Pugh is dating Zach Braff?
Florence Pugh. Yelena?
Yeah.
Is dating Zach Braff? She kind of looks like Zach Braff. Isn't he much older?
From Scrubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a 20-year difference. He's like 47. She's like 25.
You know, love finds a way.
I just like want to know. How did they meet?
You
know,
it's pretty funny, though.
It's
like
literally like celebrity... random like generator, and it's like those two people. They're like, oh, they're dating.
Yeah,
it just. I thought he was married.
When did their paths
or
cross?
Something.
Is Zach Braff a huge fan of like Midsummer?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a beautifully but awfully disturbing movie.
Oh yeah, I don't like watching it, but I think about it all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's still a couple shots in there where I'm like, this was wild. Like, remember that first moving shot that like goes up the stairs and like comes from the garage?
Oh yeah,
and it's like the tube, and then whoever killed herself. Not very good vibes. But why does Zach Braff? How do they even meet?
Maybe
he's pretty funny though. I mean, he's still got a pretty active Twitter.
Yeah, his Twitter's pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean, like he really liked like Watchmen last year. He tweeted about it. So maybe he's a big superhero fan.
Oh, like the HBO show?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He's like, Watchmen is the best show on television.
It was pretty good.
I would agree
at that point. Yeah.
I'm like, Zach Braff has some good hot takes.
He sure does.
And so maybe just wanted to date a superhero.
Wow. You know, we should just transition to TMZ news.
this guy's weird.
Who's dating who? I need to know. But for comic book news, we have Injustice animated movie will adapt the DC video game and comic.
Sorry, can you say that again?
Injustice, remember that?
Right.
Did you like the video game?
Yeah.
Did you like the comic?
Yeah.
Did you like the story of the video game?
Dude, we talked about this before.
Have we?
Yeah, like a couple weeks ago. They announced the casting the other day.
Oh, okay. Well, that's happening, and I forgot that you said that, so.
It comes out this fall.
It sure does.
Which is, seems so soon, and it is really dope. I can't wait for that.
I really like this article because it says the video game came to Wii U back in 2013, and I'm like... It came to more consoles than that, but they specifically clarified that it came out on the Wii U.
Yeah. I don't even remember the Wii U and why that was, like, different. It's like you can play with your hands, but you look at the screen, but there's also a screen in your hands.
There's a screen on the screen, and then there's a screen in your hands.
That sounds so hard.
And then they were just like, you know what, maybe just one screen, and then they made the Switch, and it was a banger.
True.
So, all right. Well, then, That's a little in case you missed it news.
You ever been to that arcade bar that's in Phoenix? It's like Cobra?
Cobra, yeah.
Yeah, that place is great. They had like it set up to where they had Injustice like behind the bar, and they just handed people controllers.
Oh my
and
God.
There's this dude who was just mopping people.
Yeah.
And he was using like Spawn or something, and it was just ridiculous.
Spawn and
he,
Injustice?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I guess they had all the DLC.
Yeah, I guess they did.
And I was like, I don't know, even know who I'm fucking good with. They just hand me the controller because this guy's cocky. I'm like, I bet I could just kind of button smash on this dude and win. But no, I got wrecked as well, and it was fucking annoying. I wanted to like go home, re-download the game, get better, and then go back to that bar until I find him again.
I think I was any fighting game that has Green Lantern, and I definitely try and be good with him.
Yeah,
he's not very good in any of the games.
Combos are normally pretty good.
Except for DC versus Mortal Kombat, or Mortal Kombat versus DC, he was really good in that game.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm remembering.
But I think in Injustice 2, I played Green Arrow because he was like a lot of fun.
Yeah. I remember being like...
Hellboy's in that game now. Did you know that?
Yeah, that's dope.
Super cool. And he looks great.
I think I remember being like pretty good with like Catwoman for some reason.
Oh yeah, she's fast.
Yeah, she's like super fast and does a lot of scratching.
Tons of fast combos.
Anyway, back to the news.
If you watch the Suicide Squad movie in an AMC theater, you'll get a Suicide Squad comic book AMC exclusive.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a new comic.
Doesn't make up for their like shitty popcorn, but that's still kind of cool.
So it's only on like the opening days. So the first August 5th and 6th, apparently, at any participating AMC.
I told mom to get tickets and she's like, when? I'm like, opening day, obviously.
Yeah, come on. What about?
So it's kind of up in the air if she's going to pick AMC or not.
All right. But if she picks AMC, we'll get a Suicide Squad comic from Rob Williams, Jim Lee, Jason Fabick, Scott Williams, Alex Sinclair, and Brad Anderson.
Oh, that's
Rebirth,
yeah.
Okay. So I guess it's just a...
It was basically just the people in the first movie.
He didn't say it was like a new comic book, and that is definitely the team for the Rebirth one. But yeah, there is a new cover, and I think it's by Asad Ribic. Because it looks like that kind of style. Like,
oh, that looks good.
Looks really good.
King Shark looks almost photoshopped in there, but Harley Quinn looks like a drawing.
Yeah, he didn't credit the artist, fucking James Gunn, when he tweeted about it, so.
Oh my goodness.
So that's pretty neat.
Speaking of that, did you see some stills from that movie?
No, I just have watched like the first trailer on the movie, and then that's it.
There's a couple new characters that were revealed. Would you like to know who's also going to be in this movie?
Sure. Spoilers, I guess, for this movie.
Spoilers. Calendar Man is going to be in this movie.
Didn't we know that?
I don't know, but it's played by Sean Gunn, and it looks kind of good.
Oh, cool. Does he have the numbers around his forehead?
No, he's got the abbreviations of the months around his head.
Oh, okay. That works, too.
Yeah, and then they also have Double Down, which is that dude who like takes cards off of his skin and like throws them or whatever.
Huh.
He was in Arrow, but they're like tattoos, and that kind of worked really well.
It's like a shitty tattoo man.
Yeah, like a shitty tattoo man, but he can only throw cards.
They didn't want to get Common back to play Tattoo Man in his iconic role of Tattoo Man.
Where we thought he was basically the villain, but yeah,
it
I guess
seems like he would be a cooler villain, but...
Oh, Suicide... Everyone, not spoilers, something you need to know. When you're going to see Suicide Squad, you know, a couple weeks from now, it has two after-credit scenes, so make sure to stay.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Remember in Guardians 2 when he did, like... seven like after credits things.
I don't remember.
And one of them was just Sean Gunn dancing or whatever, and then like it's just like a bunch of things. Grant Morrison's DC departure for now. Daniel.
He's departed
after.
Isn't he on Superman and the Authority?
He is. That's gonna be his last thing. It's a 4-issue thing.
Is it only four?
Yeah.
Oh.
I discovered that yesterday when I picked it up.
Did it say one of four?
One of four.
Oh.
That's his book with Mikhail Janin. I think that's how you pronounce it. I read it this week. Very good. I'll talk about it later.
Dope.
In our pull list segment. Time codes, hopefully, in the description. But he said that Superman and the Authority is going to be his last comic book thing in general for a while because he's doing some TV stuff. Actually, I guess this series in general was kind of already written a couple years ago. And so he's written this, and then after Superman and the Authority, he wrote Wonder Woman, Earth 1, Volume 2, and The Green Lantern. Like... after he was done writing Superman the Authority.
It's
but
so
this
weird.
Just got like pushed back a while. So
huh.
So he's already kind of been gone since he finished like the last Green Lantern issue. So
okay.
So it's very interesting. I don't know why the release schedule lined up that way, but this book is pretty good so
what,
far.
What TV stuff did they say?
I don't know.
He's going to work on a season three of Happy.
Maybe a Klaus TV show. That'd be cool.
Just in time for the holiday season.
Yes. We're going to read another Klaus book.
Does he have any other independent properties?
Tons, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. That's too bad.
Yeah. But it is what it is. Hopefully he's doing cool stuff. What else do I got here?
Do you have more departures or arrivals?
Chris Claremont's going to be back in Marvel to write probably a Gambit series. And it's a little bit weird how people know, because he posted on his Instagram, which I didn't know that he has, of this little barn. And he's like, I'm just sitting here and I'm writing. He said, after finishing Gambit 3, but he didn't write Gambit. He wrote GA...T3. So he like censored out half of the word Gambit, but there's not many other heroes that it could be other than Gambit, you know? So like people are just like, Gambit.
Maybe it's Garut.
Garut. Yeah, could be. And he says, plus lots of other crazy stuff. So yeah, people were just like, you're writing a Gambit book? That hasn't been announced. So apparently he's writing that. But Gambit's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that character a lot.
Chris Claremont. Oh, he did X-Force and shit, right?
He's like, Chris Claremont is like the X-Men writer, I would say. Like Days of Future Past was him. And like, he's an older one, you know?
New Mutants,
in the beginning, I think, was him with Bill Sienkiewicz, and then all sorts of things.
I might be thinking of someone else who's like a bit newer, but that's dope.
No, yeah, he's the one that has done like a lot of the big X-Men stuff. Have you, Daniel, heard of the weird motion comic that's based off of Zack Snyder's plans for the DCEU after Justice League?
It's a motion comic?
There was a group called Lightcast that was making a motion comic that was based off of Zack Snyder's plans after Justice League, since that's not going to happen.
I thought there was a comic for that he was writing.
He wasn't writing it, apparently. It was this group, but maybe he had some sort of part of it, but I guess it's not happening anymore because they were caught tracing people's arts from Jim Lee, Jason Fabik, Ivan Reis, and Rafa Sandoval.
Oh, that's
and
fucked.
And people figured it out, and now it's not going to be a motion comic anymore.
Damn. Which
probably for the better, because no motion comics really work, I don't think. The Watchmen one, I was like, what is this?
Yeah, I've never watched that. I have it, but I've never watched it. It seems like it'd be like odd.
It's a little bit weird because it's like it's originally drawn as like a comic, so it's like not supposed to be moving. So when people make like someone's arm bend or whatever, it like just looks super funky.
It's just like the artwork bending.
It's just like someone going into like Adobe Premiere and just like squishing something or like expanding something or making it wavy or whatever. And it's always like kind of awkward, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you might as well just make like an animated movie.
Well, I mean,
that'd be kind of cool if they made an animated movie of like just Watchmen, like to the core of like what it is, you know?
That
like
would
all
be
all the dialogue and shit.
But I mean, there's like
giant squid.
It would be cool, right? But I don't know if DC would ever like do that, just because there's that Watchmen story exists in so many forms now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I do agree. It would be really cool, especially if they took like
just to like experience like the story like quicker.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. That's odd news.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I didn't know that it was happening. Probably wouldn't have watched it, but it sucks that they were tracing people's art very clearly.
It seems like there's a lot of, I don't know, like criticism towards artists that do like Star Wars, because there's
photo reference.
Yeah, a lot of photo referencing, and mm-hmm. people would be like drawing, you know, like Lando, and it's actually like an angle or a shot that's in like one of the movies.
It's like a frame of the movie.
Because you're trying to also like draw the actor, you know what I mean? But some people, it's like not even close.
Yeah. And I think it kind of limits what you can do as far as like composition of like a panel or like a page.
Because mm-hmm.
it's like, if you need Lando to be doing something, but you only have references of him looking a particular way, then you have to like change the way that that scene plays out on the comic form.
Yeah.
So it is, I think that's a little bit different, just because that starts out as like a movie, like as like a live action movie, and then translating it into comics. There's like a fine line, I think, between making it look exactly like the actor portraying it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if it's super good, it's obviously not like perfect, so I think there's something in your mind that'll always be like, that's a little bit, looks a little bit funky, I just don't know why.
Uh-huh.
You know? So I think I typically prefer when they deviate from it a bit.
You should just like do your style, and then Lando has this cape, and Han has the vest. You know, you're gonna know who it is.
Luke is blonde.
Can't fuck that up.
Han has a vest, you know.
Right.
So,
and then just make sure you never deviate from their outfits.
Yeah.
And make sure the hair doesn't get too crazy, you know?
Yeah. That's an interesting thing, though. It's like trying to... We read a book today that was based off of something that didn't originate from a comic book platform. And there's like weird things like that in that book, too, that are interesting to like look at. Because it's just like, this is weird. I just don't really know why, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's all I have for news.
Really? I have a ton. Hold on.
Let's go through it.
A little bit of Easter egg that was found from the Loki series. You know the judge lady who's Mobius's boss?
Yeah.
So the high school that she taught at before she was pulled as a variant is the same school that
Tom Holland
Andrew Garfield went to.
Oh, interesting.
In his Spider-Man story. I was like, ooh.
That's spicy.
Very spicy.
I heard a fan theory today that I kind of like.
Okay.
And like, normally I'm just like, whatever fan theories, but someone theorized that Mobius is going to eventually be Silver Surfer. And the only reason they say that is because Mobius was like a very prominent artist in like a Silver Surfer parable. Like, you know, that storyline. It was Stanley and Mobius that like...
Oh, yeah, the artist.
The artist Mobius.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was like a stellar artist and is like very known in the
medium.
Didn't
he do the Inkle?
The Inkle?
Like the last Inkle or whatever?
I don't know what that is, but maybe.
Hold on.
But Silver Surfer Parable was one that Stanley and Mobius did. And then they also connected the fact that, you know, he likes jet skis, but maybe he also likes surfing. So, and, you know, Galactus is eventually going to show up. So I just thought that was funny. Because, like, Mobius is a cool name, but it's not like a normal person's name.
You've never seen this?
Oh, I have, yeah.
Yeah, this is like, apparently.
Is that Mobius?
Yeah, Mobius.
Oh, that's awesome.
Apparently, it's like a legendary, like, comic book.
Is it? Who's it published by?
Humanoids.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So Mobius is the artist, and then Alejandro Jodorowsky is the writer. I read the first trade of it, and I was like, okay. Because I just like had like super high expectations because of it's on like every, you know, must read kind of list kind of thing. And so I was like, okay, but I think I have to read like all of it.
We should read Silver Surfer Parable. It's like supposed to be really, really good.
I agree.
And it's only like 100 something pages.
I have an itch to get into some Silver Surfer stuff.
Yeah.
Or maybe like I have a really good friend, Corey. He like loves Silver Surfer.
Really?
And he loves like Adam Warlock and shit like that.
Cool.
And he like bought like 90 comics of like just these loose issues that he found at Comic-Con when I went with him once. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
That's crazy.
Remember like mom went to that like that poker game and then there was just like 16 long boxes just in the garage. That picture that she sent. It's like a snap.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's Corey's house.
Okay, cool.
So he should come whenever we do Silver Surfer. We gotta have him on the pod.
I'm done for that. Anyway, comic news. What else you got?
HBO is developing 2 animated Game of Thrones shows.
Why?
I don't know. Because it'd be cool.
I guess.
I can't. I'm gonna watch the shit out of them. Blade got a director. A dude named Bassam Tariq, I assume, is how you pronounce it.
Oh, I was like, you assume that he's the director?
I'm assuming how to pronounce his name.
It's always funny that Marvel stuff will have, like, who decided that Mahershala Ali is going to be Blade, but they didn't have a director behind it, you know? It's kind of funky.
I mean, they've been doing pretty good so far.
Yeah.
As far as putting projects together. I think, like, the getting, like, a major actor like that attached to property, then people will kind of come to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, Leslie Grace cast as Batgirl in an upcoming movie.
I forgot that that was still happening.
Yeah, me too.
Remember the Nightwing movie that they announced?
No.
Yeah.
They didn't announce the Nightwing
movie. There's like a list
that's like
somewhere on Reddit.
It's always been in like talks, hasn't it?
No, they like announced it. Like, Nightwing's happening, you know? And I think it was like sometime after Batman v Superman came out or something. But there's like a list somewhere on Reddit, I think, of just all the things that DC's announced.
And then canceled.
But haven't been talked about since. So
yeah,
that's like
that,
one
that's
of
so
them.
Dumb. They're not good at that.
No, they're not.
Because like, remember, Marvel announced shit like 4 years in advance.
But we know that's happening.
And then it comes on time mostly.
Remember the spinoff movie from Aquaman, like the Trench or
the
Deep
Trench
or whatever?
I remember that.
Yeah, that's
I was asleep for the Trench part of Aquaman.
I was
so I don't even
so
know
drunk watching Aquaman, and I've watched it since and I still don't really like it.
You know Jordan, he came on for the Invincible episode.
Of course.
I cannot understand the things that he likes, but he fucking loves Aquaman, like that movie.
Okay.
He hates Batman v Superman, loves Aquaman, and then like loves like the Snyder Cut and shit like that.
Okay.
And you know, every superhero movie, he's like, I loved it. Or he's like, it was fucking trash. I'm like, why? And okay. So he's got like the most critical, like taste.
That's funny.
I basically just fight with him. that's our friendship. Whenever he has like a hot take that he like posts on his story, I'm like, no, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I like that movie.
That's funny.
Oh, Nathan.
Daniel.
Shit announced today, I think. Chip Zdarsky has a new book coming out on Comixology. Called The All-Nighter.
Wow, I didn't see that.
It's a book about vampires who work in a diner who are also
that's awesome.
Who are also double as superheroes. And I'm like, this is great.
I assume a 24-hour diner.
Yeah.
Because they don't sleep or whatever.
And it's already been picked up for an Amazon adaptation.
Shut the fuck up, dude. That's such a... What a great idea. How has no one thought of this before?
I know. they just all work at a diner and be like...
That's fucking hilarious,
I think he tweeted about it. I was going through his tweets.
That's the all-nighters. Wow.
The all-nighters. Is that it?
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. The 24-hour diner. You know?
Yeah.
that fits. It all fits.
Hilarious, dude. So who's the team? Oh, he's getting Jason Liu back. He's the one that did the other Comixology original with him.
Oh, fucking.
It was called. I got it.
Hunky
right
Space Dads.
I don't think it was called that.
Afterlift?
I'm pretty sure it's Afterlift.
Did we review it?
We never talked about it. No.
Wait, what's the Hunky Space Dads one?
What are you talking about? I thought that was a joke.
No, there's actually... Remember the dads that like were looking for the daughter or whatever?
Oh, The White Trees.
The White Trees.
No, that's a great book. Afterlift is what it is.
Afterlift, yeah. Okay. I didn't recognize anyone that was a part of it. Do you remember all the dads had like abs?
Yes, it was great.
It's fantastic.
Chris Anka drawing the best abs on the planet.
Exactly.
Afterlift was kind of like Hunky Space Dads, but just in a ride-sharing app.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. It's like the idea is that it's a ride-sharing thing that goes to hell or something.
Oh, cool.
I haven't read it all, but...
Can you imagine just like dying and death doesn't come for you? It's just like there's an Uber outside. It's like, get in.
And it's death in the Uber. Yeah. Yeah, we don't really
do the... I had to modernize, you know?
We don't really do the river thing anymore, so get in.
This helps me get there faster.
And you have to get in the front seat because this is hell.
Yeah. We're going to talk the whole way.
Yeah.
And to the point where you have music where you can barely hear it.
And I'm going to ask about your life decisions.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you about mine and my side hustles.
I'm going to play country music.
Okay. That was the last news I had. I
did last all your news.
Last minute sweep, you know what I mean?
All right. Sounds good. Well, let's get to the book that we read this week.
Any general thoughts about this, Nathan?
We read Rick and Morty from Oni Press.
Correct. By Zach Gorman.
Zach Gorman, CJ Cannon, and Ryan Hill.
Ryan Hill coloring.
Obviously... The characters are created by Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland.
There's also a bonus short by Mark Ellerby.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So that did you read those?
Cat
those
bonus shorts?
Yeah. Yeah, they were pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
dude, did you like imagine like their voices in your head the whole
time? I had
time?
To. I couldn't. But like okay, so this this is a book that's based off an existing property that is not in the comic book that wasn't like a comic book before. And like right off the bat, I was like just looking at the art, and it is so spot on that it hurt my brain a little bit.
It's crazy how good it is, like how accurate to what the show is like.
And it's weird because there was no changes to help it fit into like a comic book medium. Like everything is very like simple and like just like the TV show that my brain like thinks that these are basically just like frames from the TV show. Like that's how, and like I can't tell if that's like a good thing or a bad thing. But like it was just like a little distracting for my brain a little bit. It looks really, really good, and
I'd almost wish for like a artist to not have to do like an impression of what the show animation is like.
Yeah,
but it's probably the best thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I would kind of prefer that they took like a different stylistic approach to it. I understand why they did it this way, and
yeah,
it's just like interesting to think about those kinds of things when a comic book is adapting something else that exists in a different medium.
Uh-huh.
It's just like it's interesting. Like I could tell that they decided to try and make it look as much of the show as possible. And maybe that was just to get people in for this first trade and be like, this is basically just more Rick and Morty, you know?
Yeah, they did a super good job of keeping things like clever and like interesting.
Yeah.
Like the concepts that are in like the TV show, those they had those in this.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no shit. I just thought it'd be like, you know, subpar in comparison. But I'm like, oh, this is like interesting.
And yeah.
I like this.
And typically when something is adapted in a comic book, I feel like it should be focusing on something that main medium normally doesn't like have time to do, I guess. So like in this case, I would in the last issue, I think that does it in like the way that I was thinking in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But the first four issues of this is just like a Rick and Morty episode where like a bunch of crazy shit's happening.
Yeah.
And I like that. But I was kind of hoping for like an expansion on things that they can't focus on or like dedicate an episode to.
Yeah, I guess.
And like fill in some cracks because there's like a ton of really interesting characters in Rick and Morty.
Because yeah.
I love the show a lot. And like I kind of want to know more about Aberdolf Littler, you know? And like the fifth issue goes into a little bit more of what Scary Terry has to deal with and like what he's about, the Freddy Krueger ripoff. And I think that issue was like my favorite because there's like interesting things about him that they probably couldn't dedicate a full episode to.
Yeah, that's fair. I think maybe they didn't want this to be like the in-betweenquels.
Yeah.
But like,
which is fair too, but
that would be cool if they were to expand on more characters, or you could probably have something a little bit longer format.
Yeah.
That's longer than like a 20-minute episode or whatever, or feels like a 20-minute episode. But yeah, honestly, with these concepts and things like that, I feel like these could have been like episodes at one point.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it seems like it gets like more intense as like time goes on, like the animations, action, and concepts and things like that.
Yeah.
But if this was just like fit into season one or something, I wouldn't blink.
Yeah, it had a lot of the things that make Rick and Morty great, just like Rick insulting Jerry and Morty, and then there's like other characters that have like their own fucking like gimmicks to them and all sorts of things. And the craziness, I think, pretty much matches what's typically done in the show. So
definitely,
let's get into it.
Alrighty.
So it starts off with the whole family at dinner, at the dinner table, and Jerry's throwing shade at Morty for like not having a job. When he was his age, he had like two jobs or whatever. And then Rick's like, well, how'd that fucking work out for you? Like, so Rick gets mad at Jerry. So he takes Morty to the garage where he gives Morty a device that can predict the future so that they can play the intergalactic stock exchange as a get rich quick scheme. Which is definitely the kind of device that Rick would just like pull out of nowhere, you know?
Yeah, he just had it in a box.
He's like, oh yeah, this finally gets to use this thing under my desk.
He's got like a wrench in here and then like a ruler.
And then a device that predicts the future. Like
exactly. This garage looks like exactly the same.
It's perfect. Like, I don't know. It's got the same sort of backdrop and like it's the same like L desk, you know?
Yeah.
L shaped desk. And like, I think at first I was just like, so my brain was just like still trying to get used to this in like a comic format, but it almost felt like to me that the voice of the characters was pretty much down, but some of it was like a little bit on the nose because it felt like the writer was trying to write somebody doing an impression of Rick and Morty, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like I was saying with how these would fit more in like the first season where like there was a ton of burps from Rick. Because he was, like, consistently drinking.
Yeah.
Nowadays, he's, like, normally pretty focused, and there isn't a lot of that.
Yeah.
So, and this probably came out more near, like, the first season.
I think it did, actually, because in part of the back matter, they're, like, season two is about to drop. Or I think season two just dropped or something like that. So, it's, like, very early, Rick and Morty.
I wonder what other, like, Adult Swim properties have, like, comic books.
That's a good question. I don't know. Mad TV used to be on Adult Swim, right?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Hmm.
But
one with like the talking French fries and the nuggets?
Oh, I don't know, actually. Look it up.
People like it for some reason.
People love that fucking show.
And I remember watching it as a kid and being scared.
it is one of those shows that makes you scared as a kid. It's like, my eyes shouldn't be experiencing this right now.
Yeah, like this is for like older kids.
This is for people that get high probably. So I don't know if I should be watching this as a 12-year-old. But yeah, there's like lines of dialogue where I can tell that like
Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
Yes, yeah. What a weird name.
That'd be a great name for a band.
But they'd have sick music, honestly.
It'd be like math rock, and like they have so many synths and stuff.
Math rock?
Yeah, there's like this subgenre of like metalcore. It's called math rock, where they use like
the quadratic formula,
something like that. Yeah, there's like they like calculate like riffs and stuff like that.
I don't know
how it works, but it's very.
Do they use the Pythagorean theorem?
Probably. You know, they probably use like the y equals mx plus b. You know,
do they know the circumference of their drum set?
Most likely.
That's crazy. But yeah, there's lines with Morty where it just seems like if anybody was trying to do an impression of Morty, like there's tons of like ums and likes, you know?
So yeah.
At first I was just like, yeah, this is pretty much Morty. But anyway, so they go to space.
I like when they say, don't even trip, dog.
Yeah.
Like, because like, they used to say that. And it was really funny.
Don't even trip, dog. And then Morty's like, it's a little sketchy. Like, who even says something like that unless they are tripping, you know? So they go to the Intergalactic Stock Exchange building in space, where they run into Professor Tok, whose whole gimmick is stopping time travel or something. Like, he's a time travel cop. He's a TVA, essentially.
Right. Which is funny because they actually have, like, time cops, like, in Rick and Morty in, like, later seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, fucking, like, Key and Peele or maybe.
Oh, really?
Maybe it's just Key.
That's funny.
That it voice acts for him.
Yeah. And Rick says that time travel, like, is impossible and is stupid and doesn't make any sense. So they leave to go register Morty to trade stocks. And then it jumps to a little bit down the road, and the family house has been changed to like half house and half Morty and Rick Incorporated based off the sign. And basically they got super rich, have a successful business, I guess, trading stocks or whatever. And Jerry thinks that it's getting a little bit out of hand, and he goes to try and stop it. And this is where he gets approached by Professor Tok to talk about a way to make it stop. So just right off the bat, I think once they went into space, there's tons of like visual gags that are like crossovers from the show. So we see like a couple Mr. Meeseeks in there.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And like that first page where they're in the Intergalactic Stock Exchange, and it's like that second panel, there's like a Meeseeks that looks like he's very stressed. And he's he's got like a tie on and shit.
That is definitely like intentional.
Yeah. And this is where like I think it's kind of cool that this exists in a comic medium, because this is CJ Cannon or whoever the artist was can just like make up random aliens and stuff. And I think that that's pretty cool to look at.
Yeah. So he has like a little bit of like artistic freedom when it comes to those designs.
Yeah. And he doesn't have to like find all sorts of like different Rick and Morty.
Yeah,
like, character designs and stuff, because he could just make this. Yeah.
Rick and Morty has like the weirdest designs for aliens. And so like these like didn't really seem like, oh, yeah. You know,
yeah.
Which is fine. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think it's good, because I hate when, like, aliens are just all humanoid. Like, they have two arms, two legs, a mouth, you know?
It's a slug every once in a while, you know?
Yeah, it's nice.
Or, like, something that's just, like, a gas that talks. Yeah.
I also like that Rick and Morty's outfit has changed from, like, their typical outfit. But they keep the color scheme, and now they just have, like, a button-up and a tie.
Yeah.
That are just, like, white and blue for Rick, or, like, yellow for Morty. But Morty lets the power get to his head and tries to cut Rick out of the business. And so Rick reveals that the device doesn't actually predict the future. It just merges timelines with ones where the stocks they invested in were successful, but it kills the other timeline in the process. Like a whole ass other timeline.
I love that. It's so fucking funny.
Morty's like mortified by it. And then the time police break in, and there's a huge fight with them trying to like run away. And the two of them get arrested, all because of Jerry. Essentially, because he sold him out.
Yeah.
That fight scene is, like, pretty crazy, because there's, like, a cat robot that's part of Morty and Rick Incorporated, and he just, like, turns into, like, a huge mech robot.
Yeah.
That, like, helps him fight. And it's funny, because the issue ends from the perspective of, like, the news from the alien side. So there's, like, an aliens, like, newscast. Like,
Glub an alien 7 news.
Yeah. And there's, like, people that are, like, there's an alien named Glarb, who's also like a newscaster, and then they just like go into sports, and then there's like a weird alien sport thing going on. So like there's a bunch of those like little side jokes that are in the Rick and Morty sort of feel.
Exactly.
But yeah, this is essentially just like an on paper episode.
which is
pretty cool.
That's all you can ask for, really.
Yeah.
You know?
And like I wonder how something like this happens. Like how did this book come together? I'd be interested to know was it Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland like, we should make a comic book for like these ideas that didn't make it to the season? Or
did they get their blessing to kind of write this thing?
Yeah.
Who has the rights?
How did
the
comic Oni book get rights? It? Yeah.
Yeah. How did Oni Press get it?
It's very interesting. Just the legalities of it in general, I think it's amazing that this even exists, you know?
Yeah. Cause I don't know if like Oni Press is like mostly like independent, right?
It's an independent one. Yeah.
So it's like,
they've had like Letter 44, which I really like.
That's right.
And Jonah and the Impossible Monsters from Chris Somney.
Yeah, they've had some things.
Really, really good stuff.
So, yeah, I really don't know. I'm sure you could Google it, but also Oni Press things are normally like really small, and so there might not be like a bunch of news about it, you know?
Yeah, true.
Or like articles about a Rick and Morty comic book.
We'll have to DM the writer of this and see. But
that's a great idea.
I think if we could get him on, that'd be super interesting, I think. But anyway, issue two, Rick and Morty are in time court, and Rick tries to offer Morty as like a sexual bribe, but it doesn't work out. And then they're sentenced to the Clackspire Labyrinth, which is another fun, wacky name that sounds like it would be on Rick and Morty. Meanwhile, Jerry gets punished for selling out his own son and Rick, and he has to live in the basement of the house. Which I didn't know that there was even a basement in that
house. That looks like the same door that goes to the garage, but I guess they have a basement, yeah.
Yeah, which I don't think is canon. I think that this is a new thing.
There's different continuities now.
Yeah, which I haven't rewatched any of the seasons, so maybe there's a basement a little bit in there, but that's where Jerry lives now.
Well, there's like a space that's under the garage that Rick has for stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember him like,
but it's not like,
it's like a ladder that goes down, right?
Yeah.
It's like just a hatch on the ground.
It's like he just built into the ground.
Yeah.
You know, like in his time in the garage.
Yeah. So Jerry's moving down to the basement, and while he's moving stuff down there, he knocks over like a glass display case, which releases an alien that we see later in this book.
Spoilers.
Well, I mean, it's pretty clear that it's going to come back. Yeah, we see like its tail or whatever.
It's obviously foreshadowing.
Yeah. So Rick and Morty, along with some other criminals, are dropped into the Clackspire Labyrinth, which it's basically just a separate land with just a bunch of monsters trying to kill them. And there's a big maze. And it turns out Rick is the one that originally designed this place. So he's hidden a couple vaults with a change of clothes and then also a bunch of booze. More alcohol. And they're walking around for a long time before getting chased by another monster that looks kind of familiar, actually. It's like this. It might be in like the intro screen or whatever, but do you recognize this monster?
It
looks like a mole with really long arms.
Yeah, it looks like a rat kind of thing.
I'm not sure. I just didn't know if you knew off the top of your head. But
mm-mm.
So anyway, they're getting chased by that in the maze. So Rick brings them to a secret room with a teleporter. And Rick was kind of like walking around with Morty trying to find another way back because the teleporter only has enough energy for one person. So Rick pushes Morty through, which takes him back home. But it means that Rick is stuck in the Clackspire Labyrinth.
That was really sad because he's like, I was trying to find another way. He's like, what does that mean, Rick? And then he pushes him through. He's like, it only had enough for one charge or something.
So it's so sad, yeah. It's just cute that like Rick was trying to make it work for both of them, and then if it doesn't, it's like Morty goes, you know.
I kind of like those like sad episodes of Rick and Morty.
Dude, when Rick is sad, it's like the best episode.
Yeah, it's like there's so much depth to this character.
You know, he's just angry on the surface, but deep down he cares a lot, you know.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. I really like that the Clackspire Labyrinth is just a rearranged like word for Rick's place.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. It's a great name as well. And I think this issue was a lot quicker, and it started to like adopt some more traditional comic book like coloring and rendering, because there's like a lot of different shading and stuff, especially when they're in this like teleporter room. There's like green shades on Morty and like different shadows and stuff. So this is where it like really started to like warm up for me.
Right. Okay.
Especially since they're not in like the traditional setting of just like the house, you know. I think that helped me enjoy this a lot more.
Gotcha.
But anyway, issue three, Jerry is holding a garage sale, selling Rick's old stuff since he's gone missing and he's still in the Clackspire Labyrinth, which I think is just a funny idea in general that he's just selling all of Rick's crazy devices in a garage sale.
Yeah.
And Morty gets pissed at the whole thing and he walks away flipping off Jerry. And back at the Clackspire place, Rick is working with like a super hot guy criminal that was dropped there with him, and they're trying to find a way out. And so they start getting chased by these beetle things or spider things that are climbing on the walls. And Rick justifies killing this guy after he finds out that he crashed a school bus driving blackout drunk. So he's just justified killing him, saving himself because that's what he came in for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In the scene where Morty like walks away, flipping off Jerry, I like that they've blurred out the double middle fingers that Morty kind of gives out.
I didn't even see that.
I think that's pretty funny.
Because they still, like, I don't know why, but they, like, censor Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, like, the, like a bleep can be kind of funny.
Yeah.
Without actually hearing, like, the word.
If it's, like, well-timed, I think it definitely can be, yeah.
Yeah, especially with, like, I always find when Rick, like, is like, what the fuck, or something like that.
Yeah.
That I find that to be funny when it's just...
It's just unexpected, and it works comedically sometimes.
Yeah, so I guess they match that with, like, having the blurred out bird.
And it's, like, not even very well blurred out, because you could clearly see, like, what he's doing. It's
yeah.
Just, it's just funny.
It's kind of like a blurred out dick. Like,
yeah.
You know where it's at, you and know, then the shape of it, that's probably a dick.
And the angle, you know, that the dick is, so it's
the
like,
hang, you know?
You can... You could fill in the gaps, you know?
You can use your imagination there.
Yeah. But Beth is cleaning up Jerry's basement, and she gets attacked by the alien that Jerry unknowingly set loose. And later, Summer comes home and finds Morty acting super weird and, like, casual. But then Morty tries to attack Summer, and so Summer runs and locks herself in a room where she finds the real Morty, who's all, like, tied up and shit. And then Summer hears Beth and tries to talk to her, but that is also a fake Beth, so... Then they start fighting too. So it's like all this stuff is happening in this house. And so she's fighting fake Beth and fake Morty until Rick eventually opens the door and blasts Morty away.
Fake Morty.
Kind of saving it. Fake Morty. Yeah. Kind of saving everything. And then Summer's like skeptical about this Rick being like another fake from the aliens. So Rick stuns her and then like goes upstairs. So that's how we know it's real Rick, because she stunned Summer, and like an alien would probably just kill her. So,
mm-hmm.
So I guess like this alien is like a mix between like a face hugger and the alien from The Thing, where they just like, I don't know, create like a clone of the person.
Have you seen The Thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing like goes into people and then like takes over them there. So it is like their actual bodies.
Oh, this is like a clone though.
Yeah. This makes like a clone somehow, but I don't really know how this alien works, to be honest.
It seems like they attack them and he gets like their DNA and then like,
just makes a clone real quick. That makes sense.
Anyway. Wait, have you seen The Thing though? Like the movie?
Yeah.
Is it any good?
Like a long time ago. It's like an old movie. So
when have you seen it? Or why did you see it?
Because
where did you see it?
I saw it just, I don't know, at home. It was just something that we were watching.
Huh.
Like a while ago, but
I feel like that's one of those, like, classic ones that, like, I've just never seen, you know? Like, Classic horror movies, at least.
I mean, I wouldn't tell you to go watch it.
Like most classic horror movies,
yeah. Yeah, it's like...
Like, have you seen Nightmare on Elm Street?
It was probably... Yeah, I have.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I remember Mom, like, telling me that she had, like, nightmares, but, like, Freddy Krueger just, like, cuts his stomach open, like, guts come out, and there's, like, worms and shit. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, this looks terrible.
And then he's just, like, they're, like, running around in, like, whatever... like sewer system or whatever.
He's like waddling over them.
Yeah, he looks kind of like a dumbass. So yeah, The Thing's very similar, where it's just like, I'm sure this was great at the time, but now it's unoriginal.
Is Kurt Russell in that?
I don't know. I couldn't even tell you.
Okay. So, anyway, chapter 4.
Yeah, issue 4. So this issue is kind of just unrelated to what's been happening.
I think the last one just kind of wrapped it up.
Yeah,
because like he killed. That was just. Morty, I guess that was the one.
And then he goes to save Morty. I guess it's implied because he like walks upstairs.
And
you know?
And evil Beth is like taken out or whatever.
Yeah, so everything's all good there with the alien.
Mm-hmm.
So this one's kind of like unrelated. Starts like a new episode, I guess. But Rick wakes Morty up in the middle of the night and takes him to look at an alien family through their window. And then he says some like ominous shit like, tomorrow Morty's going to be one of them. And so the next morning, Morty wakes up to Bug Butler, which is exactly how it sounds. It's just a big bug that is a butler.
He's got a little bow tie.
Yeah, I really like Bug Butler. Rick tries to call him like Bugler, but Bug Butler is like, no, I don't like that. So Morty and Rick are on a farm that Rick made to house aliens that were orphaned by a war on their native planets.
Alien refugees.
Yes. And so he kind of gives him a home, and then it's like a nonprofit thing, I guess. So he wants Morty to investigate the aliens on this farm that are trying to overthrow Rick's power, I guess, mm-hmm. or just overthrow Rick in general. So Morty acts like a farmer and blends in with the others, and he meets a nice alien girl there that helps him out with like the farming stuff. And then later that day, the alien girl takes Morty somewhere secret And then Morty finds out that Rick has been spying on him through a spy camera implanted in the button of his pants.
Yeah.
So Morty takes off his pants and then goes with the alien girl, who reveals to him that they plan to overthrow Rick because he's the one that started the wars on those native planets that they're from in the first place. Twist. So that's a big twist. And then later, Morty packs his things and then he leaves Rick. And I think this is a very good, like, Rick and Morty-esque twist.
Oh, yeah.
That he, like, kind of just, he kind of, like, fluffs up, like, the truth with, to Morty with, like, what he actually did.
Yeah.
And it turns out that he's just, like, a big asshole. But then all the alien farmers start to riot on the house that Rick is in, and Morty also catches them on their way. Rick tells the bug butler to run and goes to talk to the mob. The alien girl tries to shoot Rick, but Morty knocks the gun out of her hand, so it just shoots Rick through the shoulder. And so Morty's there holding Rick in his hands, and Rick's bleeding out, and they share, like, their last few words or whatever. But then it's all good because the real Rick portals in and asks why Morty is hanging out with this alien clone from the last issue. So that's how this issue connects.
Okay.
And then they both leave because Rick said that this is a fucked up dimension that I fucked up once. So
he has like, yeah, it didn't go well. Like, I started a war here.
Yeah, I started a war here. So there's a classic switcheroo at the end. And there's actually like some really good coloring here too, because when he's holding Rick in his hands, it's like sunset.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's like a mob there with like torches and shit. So I think that that looks like really good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And I guess that Rick was the clone from last issue, and I guess he wasn't super feral. I don't know, but it's pretty funny because Rick is like, hey, take a picture of me with this dead Rick.
Yeah. He wanted a selfie with the dead himself.
Morty, take a picture. It's a good time. So issue 5. So this is the one, this one's like my favorite because it like does the thing that I want with like a Rick and Morty comic where it expands on other shit. But
right,
this one basically takes place at a summer camp getaway that Morty is a part of, and he wakes up at night to go get freaky with a camp girl, but he's stopped by Rick, who is officially the new camp counselor. So
very fitting.
The next day, the girl is mad at Morty for not showing up and says that she was gonna let Morty put stuff in places. Which I think is funny.
Yeah.
And Morty gets mad at Rick for the cock block.
She's like, put stuff where?
And then Morty's like, places, Rick, more than one. There's like a little musical number at the beginning here, and I just like hate all music that's supposed to be in comics because it just, I don't know what like the tempo is or like,
yeah, rhythm is really hard to pick up.
Yeah.
And especially if it doesn't rhyme, it's like, what are you trying to do here?
Yeah, it's like, I don't even
know. Only if it's like songs that actually exist.
Yeah.
That's when it like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Deadpool's like awful at that. Like some of the Deadpool that I've read just like in the last like 10 years or something.
And sometimes it's songs that like aren't widely popular. And so like,
or it'd be stuff that he just like makes up. And there's really no thought put into it.
Yeah.
It's just like him talking with like musical notes.
Like, how do you expect the reader to like translate that into a song, you know? It's just weird.
I mean, good letters, they'll like make letters like bigger and smaller. So
yeah, to, you know, emphasize certain notes, I guess.
Exactly.
But this one, it's just like, here's some song lyrics with some musical notes, so you know it's a song. So yeah, just fuck off, and that's what you get.
Like, if it all rhymes, then you can kind of make it work.
Yeah.
But
like, I get that the tone of this is just like a compilation of summer camp, so it's probably like pretty upbeat and happy, but
yeah,
it just doesn't work for me. So there's also tons of previous characters from the show in this issue as well.
Birdman's here.
Yeah, we see Bird Person.
Oh, Bird Person.
Yeah, right. And I think he's a camp counselor, and he's wearing like a sweater that clearly doesn't fit him.
Yeah, it's like a crop top.
Yeah. We see Squanchy in here as well.
Squanchy Cat.
Squanch Cat. I don't remember where he is on the page, but yeah. Who's your favorite Rick and Morty character? Like, weird character. Bird Person's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's like high up there. Can I like look up a list?
Sure.
Okay.
I think like Bird Person probably has like the coolest arc. But I think that like probably the most memorable one for me is Aberdolf Littler. Because I just think that that's so ridiculous.
I don't even remember that.
You don't remember Aberdolf Littler?
No, not at all.
He like sacrifices his life to save Morty.
Okay.
In like the second season, maybe.
Dude, I see like characters, but like they don't show pictures.
I forgot about like Scary Terry until this issue.
I think I've rewatched like the first season more recently.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of like fresher.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, there's so many.
There's like Mr. Poopy Butthole. He's a good one.
He's pretty good.
There's Moop Moop, I think, from the Avengers, the Space Avengers or whatever, or Newt Newt, something like that. He's the one that was like mopping on like the Avengers like spaceship or Revengers spaceship.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's Vance Maximus, who's like the Star-Lord.
Oh, yeah. He was on there.
He's pretty good. Yeah, I'd just like go with that because I'd have to really think about that and probably rewatch them all to actually find like a favorite.
There's like a lot of pretty good ones. Like the show is really good at just making like weird gimmicky characters.
Yeah. Did you see like the last episode?
No.
Okay. There's
I've only watched the first episode of the season.
Really?
Just because it was on YouTube.
Oh, okay. There's like this. They're like in space, and there's like this like Galactus character there.
Uh-huh.
And they just like kill him in like a couple seconds.
Nice.
And it just looks so sick. I'm like, oh dude, that's fucking Galactus.
It seems like there's a lot of that this season, because I know that there's someone that was like Captain Planet, and then obviously
Planetina, yeah.
And then there's obviously the one that was like Aquaman or Namor, sorry. We decided
Mr. Nimbus or whatever.
Mr. Nimbus, yeah. So it seems like this season has like a lot of comic-y things in it.
Yeah, we're here for it.
Yeah. So anyway, continuing on, later Morty hears like a wick basket talking, and he's like, that's weird. So he goes to find Rick to see what's going on, and Rick is busy overlooking the kids at the lake and tells Morty that he's probably just like in a coma or something, that's why things are weird, and just kind of like plays it off. And so when Morty goes back to his cabin, the girl from the beginning is there, but when they start to make out, it's actually just the wick basket. And so he freaks out and about nothing being real, and he gets darted in the neck and he passes out. I really like the joke when Rick is like actually being a camp counselor and overlooking the kids.
Yeah.
And he's like talking about big foam noodles, and he's like, they're basically just giant foam wieners that double as swords, Morty. What kid could resist? And I was like, that's so true. So anyway, he wakes up, and it's Scary Terry, who says that the fate of the Dreamiverse is in trouble. And so he gives like a background saying that scientists found a way to harness energy from dreams. But since they've done this so much, the Dreamiverse is like beginning to decay and like collapse in on itself, I guess. So Scary Terry uses Morty's dream to make something, a dream that's so big that scientists couldn't even resist it. So all the camp kids are like actually dream scientists that are trying to like harness energy. So he recruits Morty to use Scary Terry's scary powers and his hat to kill them all.
Yeah, we get a Morty version of Scary Terry.
Yeah,
he gets
was Scary Terry someone that always said bitch, because he says bitch a lot in this dialogue.
Yeah, because like they did something nice to him, he's like, oh bitch,
because he was saying bitch a lot, and I was like, why is he saying bitch? That must be like,
he's like, you can run but you can't hide, bitch.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, that was like a big thing for him,
and they were like,
I guess like
he was like, you can run or you,
that's what I just said,
you can run but you can hide,
can't
as well.
Hide, bitch.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, like if you rewatch it, he says it like 5 times.
That's funny.
It's like his thing.
That's his gimmick, is just saying bitch. Yeah, so then there's like a compilation of Morty as like a Freddy Krueger looking dude killing all the camp people.
He's got his own like set of balls on his chin.
And he's got like the knife hands, but sometimes it turns into like chainsaw hands and stuff.
He's like Chainsaw Man.
Yeah, and it's just like him doing Freddy Krueger shit. Like he turns into a spider. He turns into a toilet.
Yep. That's a good terrifying
one. Yeah, it is.
Can you imagine sitting down and getting your ass eaten?
I like when he goes to kill,
like, in a bad way.
He goes to kill Squanch Cat, but Squanch Cat has already killed himself, and he's like, oh, never mind.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
He's like, oh, never mind. So
there's an episode where he's like, Squanchy Cat is like in a corner somewhere, and someone like disturbs him. He's like, hey, I'm squanching here. And so it just means like he's jerking off. So I thought that's what was happening there.
No.
But nope, well, he's dead. That's,
well, his gimmick is that he uses the verb squanch just so.
For most things.
For most things, yeah. Uh-huh. So when he killed himself, he probably just was thought like, all right, it's time to squanch myself.
I'm going
to
get squanched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all of this leads up to a final confrontation with Rick. And Rick is like, the whole thing is stupid, and it's stupid that Morty actually believes all of it. But he tells Morty to kill him anyway because he's sick of Morty's attitude or whatever. Then Morty wakes up from a coma in real life in Rick's garage. And Morty's like, put me back under. I need to save the Dreamiverse still. And then Rick makes fun of him for having a lazy imagination. But maybe the Dreamiverse is actually a real thing, because the last panel shows the Dreamiverse and some broken buildings and stuff.
Yeah, so, like, destroyed.
So this is why I like this issue, because it expands on, like, Scary Terry's deal, and he's, like, doing stuff for the Dreamiverse, you know? So I think that that's, like, interesting stuff that maybe they wouldn't do a full episode on.
Like, with like, comics and just having, like, another... having, like, another way to put out Rick and Morty content.
Yeah.
There's endless things because of, like, the millions of, like, universes that they've had.
Yeah.
And have been, like, introduced to.
Like, I think it'd be cool if they did... There's probably an arc, actually. Cause there's, like, a ton of trades of Rick and Morty.
Yeah, there's, like, 10, I think.
Yeah.
So I was trying to see if they had, like, an omnibus or something.
There's probably a ton of them. But there's probably one that, like, goes into maybe some Evil Morty stuff, you know?
Yeah, dude, I would love some Evil Morty
stuff. Like, tons of stuff like that where there's, like, additional context that fits with the show. Mm-hmm. Like, I think a Rick and Morty comic should work like a Star Wars comic where it just kind of, like, fills in some of the stuff that just you can't really do, like, a Star Wars movie for. Like, they're not going to do, like, a Darth Vader movie, but the Charles Soule Darth Vader book is phenomenal.
Banging.
And, like, shows a lot of really cool character moments, you know?
Yeah, and this would be, like, easier because there's really no continuity.
Yeah, and you can just, like, say that, you know, if everything crumbles and dies, just go to a new dimension, and that's, like, the dimension that they're on, you know?
Yeah, that kind of gets rid of stakes, but, yeah, I definitely like the idea for this, and it worked out, like, way better than I expected.
Yeah.
But at the end, at the last issue, we get some, like, bonus shorts. I don't know if it's, like, the last issue or just, like, some extra shit.
Mm-hmm.
Is this, like, the biggest back matter that we've had?
I guess it's where technically...
Where we get, like, additional stories?
It's, like,
stories?
A whole extra issue with, like, a couple-page short stories.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of really cool ones. But I just looked it up. There's 12 volumes of Rick and Morty.
Oh, my.
And then there's...
It's still coming out.
There's two spinoff trades as well. So
there's total, a Mr. There's Poopy, like, Butthole one, I think.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's, like, a one shot.
So there's 12 normal volumes, and then there's Rick and Morty Go to Hell, and then Rick and Morty Ever After.
Ah, very yeah. Nice.
So anyway, that was the book. So I guess the bonus stories are back matter.
Back matter matters.
And there's a lot of really cool ones, to be honest.
This first one was funny.
What was the first one again?
The one with Summer.
Yeah, she's like a...
She's like a general or something, right?
Yeah.
For some reason, she's, like, breaking into some alien bank or something.
War general. She goes through, like, a crazy action scene.
And she shoots a bunch of aliens.
And then later, she's sleeping with somebody, and the guy's like, how'd you get that scar? And it was just from her, like, ironing her hair. And, like, the iron touches her skin, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, the second one I really liked.
The second one is also a summer one where she's in a different war, but with food.
Yeah, all of her friends are, like, food. Like, there's, like, a pizza guy and a burger guy.
A donut guy. And
ice cream guy.
The pizza guy gets shot to shit and dies.
Yeah.
And then she's, like, being a hard ass to, like, the hamburger one. And then it just cuts to a job interview where she's, like, where the interviewer's, like, so you've worked with, you have experience with leadership and or food management. And you wrote, technically, yes. And he's, like, would you care to elaborate? And then she's, like, no.
So, just because I'm like, what the fuck is this? Yeah, and it goes that I'm like, that's
it's just
awesome.
It's just like insanity. There's one where like Morty is the Rick and Rick is the Morty as far as like their intelligence or like their characters, you know?
Yeah.
And then it like the Rick, who's like a dumb Morty, even like wearing like a yellow shirt and everything, kills Morty. And just as that happens, the normal Rick and Morty go to that dimension just to see what it's like where Ricks are Mortys and Mortys are Ricks, and they just walk in on Rick killing Morty. It's just like the most insane like meta shit. I really like the one with Beth and the Beths where
we can't skip the interlude with Jerry and Nathan.
Yeah. Okay. What's that one again?
It's really nothing.
Oh yeah. Jerry basically just goes and has a nice night by himself listening to music.
He wakes up, gets ready for work, goes to work. Comes home from work, goes to bed, but then like gets up and drives around with some music.
And then Rick's like, wow, another day of slaving away at your dead end job to make ends meet. You're so brave, Jerry. And then he's just like, I don't know, sad a little bit. Like it's like a silent book and like I kind of feel it, you know. It's not like I have like a crazy life either.
I was like, ah, man, is this me?
Yeah. But it's like he's kind of finding happiness through music, so it's kind of beautiful in that way, I guess. I think it's happiness. I don't know. He doesn't ever like really smile, but there's very prominent music aspect.
Contentness?
Contentness, yeah.
Anyway.
Then there's Beth and the Beths, where basically Beth acts like she's going to a book club, but really she takes Rick's portal gun and goes to a dimension where she's in a band with a bunch of Beths.
With a bunch of other Beths, yeah.
And they're like a grunge band, it looks like, where there's like mosh pitting going on. Hell and then yeah. Even the band like participates in some of the fighting and shit.
They're like swinging their guitars and shit.
And then Beth's like, wait, what time is it? I need to go back. And then Jerry's like, how was the book club? And she was like, pretty good. So it's just like crazy ideas like that that are just like little jokes, I guess.
Because then like, because I'm not, haven't read any of these. I'm like, that wouldn't happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's like kind of how broad the show is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get a lot done in like those shorts without having to have like a whole, you know, 24-page.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate that comic for sure.
Yeah. So
super cool. And then the last bit of back matter is basically just like author bios or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big one on just Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland, who didn't really have much to do with this, the creation of this comic, but they have like just a background on them. So I read through the Dan Harmon one, and he's done like a lot before Rick and Morty, obviously. I thought he was mainly just doing like community stuff, but he's done tons. But did you know that he went to Glendale Community College?
Our Glendale?
Like our Glendale.
There's Glendale in California too, though.
Well, maybe he's that Glendale.
It's probably.
I'm just assuming it's the one in Arizona.
Is there a Glendale Community College?
Yeah.
Okay.
GCC? Maybe not.
Okay.
Maybe it is in California, but I just know there's a Glendale here in Arizona, so I'm just going to assume that that's what it was. But yeah, he talks about just the Sarah Silverman program, which I guess he worked on, and then Community and all that. And then Justin Roiland has his own, and he basically like goes into a little bit about what he's done, and he's like, kind of towards the end, he says, Justin also really hates writing about himself in the third person. I hate this. That's right. It's me. I've been writing this whole thing. The cat's out of the bag. It's just me and you now. Like, it's just like, he just has like a mental breakdown with his own like author bio, which is pretty funny.
Nice, nice.
And then it goes into Zach Gorman and CJ Cannon and all them and about what they do. And there's the first line for the artist says, CJ Cannon is primarily a stripper and self-taught artist living in Nashville. And he doesn't really elaborate on what he means by that because strippers in parentheses or quotation.
Wow, how talented.
I'm not really sure what's going on there. But yeah, that's basically the book. So what would you rate this book, Daniel?
I would say we got to love it with some experimental toppings, like a Heath bar.
Okay.
And maybe some chunks of waffle cone.
So when you're feeling like a little different from the norm, you know?
And maybe chocolate covered pretzels.
Nice.
With like a solid base ice cream.
Yeah.
Maybe just like a vanilla bean, you know?
Yeah. Something familiar, but you want to try it in a different format.
Right. But like it works as like a really good, just like I was saying, like a good base.
Like, you know.
So that you can add to it, you know?
Exactly.
There's some flavors you just can't add to it. It just doesn't work. It's not collaborative.
Exactly.
You
know? I would probably go, I'm going to rate it off of Starbucks, I think. And I would say that this is a pretty good grande for me of like your favorite drink. Because like, you know, the drink's good and, you know, you don't need it. You don't need venti to like
really kick start your day.
Yeah.
It's just like a little something.
Just a little something that you know you're going to like, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I equate it. So I think that's a really good grande.
Pretty solid compliment.
And it's like Starbucks nailed the drink too. Because sometimes they're a little iffy about how they make the drink. But this is a grande where they nailed it. And it was exactly what you needed and wanted.
I stand by my coffee that I order being different. Like a little bit every single time.
I know. Like,
and it's like two ingredients.
I know. It's like, so I literally order just a black cold brew coffee and I feel like it tastes different every time. It's just a cold brew.
You guys did it wrong.
It's a cold brew with a splash of milk and it tastes different every time. I don't know why.
Just a little bit more milk than the other guy, you know?
I guess the splash varies for people.
Some dudes a little more heavy handed in milk application, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. But overall, really enjoyable book. If you like Rick and Morty, you'd like this. So that's, I guess, what they're going for.
Yeah.
So with that, we'll go into the pull list, : shove it in your box.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box? Yeah, then we had a huge week for comics. Wouldn't you say so?
I would have loved to have a huge week, Daniel. But again, at my comic shop, they got screwed over on a shipment, apparently.
Damn.
So I was going to get Moon Knight this week,
and they
didn't have it.
Wow. Did they have anything? What did you get? Did you get anything?
They had all the DC stuff. So I literally got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 DC things.
Holy shit.
I probably picked up too. Superman and the Authority.
Of course.
Blue and Gold.
Yes.
Legend of the Dark Knight number 3, the Derek Robertson one. where he writes and draws it. The Boys artist.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow.
Wait, what was that last one called? I need to write it down.
Legends of the Dark Knight. Okay. So that's one that's like, it's like an anthology series, but instead of it being like an anthology each issue, it's like every couple issues is a different creative team, I guess. But Derek Robertson is the first one. So this is the last issue of his run, and then it's going to a different creative team next issue.
Do you know
issue.
Who that is?
I don't.
Okay.
I assume they'll say it at like the end of this one, but I kind of like the idea, to be honest.
And then the next one you said was Supergirl?
Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, and then the last one is Justice League Last Ride, which is the Chip Zdarsky one.
Oh, right. What was that concept?
Justice League arrested Lobo. Well, the Justice League kind of hates each other, and then the Green Lanterns arrest Lobo, but they need to protect Lobo from other people that are trying to kill him. And okay. The Justice League needs to come together a little bit, you know?
Okay.
But why are the Justice League apart? Why do they hate each other now? Who knows?
I don't know.
I do, eventually. I assume after I read this third issue. So, yeah. And I read Superman and the Authority and Blue and Gold this week.
How do you feel about Blue and Gold so far?
So, it's by Dan Jurgens, who originally created Booster Gold.
Right.
And Ryan Sook is a fucking A-tier artist. He's a great cover artist, and I think that translates really well to the book. And I thought that the concept kind of surprised me a little bit, because in the beginning, the whole thing was that Booster... You know how Booster Gold kind of has, like, a big ego, and he's always trying to, like, get in front of the TV cameras and stuff?
Yes.
In this one, he has Skeets live streaming what he's doing. Like, basically, he's, like, Twitch streaming, like, his superheroing. Yeah. And I thought that that was, like, a very Booster Gold thing, and I'm like, why hasn't this been a thing in comic, like, superhero comics yet? Like, just maybe people live streaming?
I think probably the last Booster Gold comic, you know, like, Twitch streaming wasn't really, like, a thing.
Yeah, but, like... You would think that even like in an independent book, someone would just, their gimmick would just be like they're a live streaming superhero or whatever. But anyway, I think it works like really well, like because Skeets is the one that's like live streaming it. So Skeets is like flying around him. And there's like actually chat from the Twitch stream that was like showing up on the panel.
Did you ever read Sideways? That
yes, the Dan DiDio
thing.
I read the first one.
So did I.
Looks, the character design's phenomenal, and I like his powers.
Yeah, it just looks like Spider-Man. And the art was killer. But, killer. Like, I remember he was, like, vlogging.
Yeah.
Like, everything. And I'm like,
who vlogs?
It's kind of like a cringy way to stay modern. But, like, that makes sense because he's, like,
and I think they made it self-centered. Work. It was, like, sometimes it was a little bit weird reading just, like, the Twitch chat or whatever. Because Twitch chat in general is always just kind of cringy, I think.
Uh-huh.
But it seemed right. Like, people were just using, like, emotes or, like, emojis. And then some people were like, this is all fake. It's got to be deep faked or whatever. So, like, there are things like that in there. But I think this issue was, like, really good.
Okay.
And it was about Booster Gold getting Blue Beetle's help to save the Justice League from something. Mm-hmm. And they're like, this is it. We're going to be in the Justice League. Like, it's going to be fucking sick. And then the Justice League only offers the role to Blue Beetle.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So... And it's like the modern Justice League. It's like Bendis's Justice League. So
okay.
Black Adam is in it, and like Naomi's there too, and there's like a couple other ones. So
I'm a little behind, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
It was really good.
Do you remember that Teen Titans run that had Bunker in it?
Yeah.
The
New 52 one, I think, right?
I think so. Yeah.
I think it was.
They used so much like social media in that in order to like keep the
yeah
plot going forward. Like there'd be like some news link or someone's tweeting about some bad guy over here. I'm like, okay, you think they have some other way of finding out about these things?
But yeah,
sure, go on Twitter or whatever.
My favorite part of Injustice is Superman tweeting that Batman is Bruce Wayne.
He does that.
Yeah, he like literally tweets it, and that's like a huge part of like issue 8 or whatever.
You think he'd like, I'd imagine he would just go on like, I don't know, like TV and say that, you know?
Nah, he tweets it.
Wow.
The only thing I didn't like about Blue and Gold is that they had like shitty names for like obviously huge platforms. So like he was like, I don't know, Zoogle it, you know? And I'm like, come on, get out of here. But that's, I mean, I understand why that's a thing, but the first issue is like really good. So I'm glad that it was cool.
How'd you feel about Superman?
I've never read The Authority, so okay. I don't really know what's going on as far as like those characters, but I like the idea, I think.
Okay.
Where it's basically Superman, but his powers aren't completely like, as they normally were. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of like a nerfed Superman, and he's not as strong. And he needs the help of the authority, and he talks to Manchester Black to try and like get the authority to help him with something. And basically, the Phantom Zone is getting ripped open, and he needs their help. I kind of butchered that because there's like a lot of really cool nuance, and Mikael Janin is like fucking amazing.
Amazing.
Best work.
Always incredible.
Like, this is his best work. Yeah.
And better than like all the Batman shit.
I think so.
Wow.
Just because, I think it's partly because of the colorist, because I feel like his normal colorist makes everybody look like they're supposed to be like in a video game or something.
Like Arkham Asylum.
Yeah. It kind of feels like that, and it's a lot different here.
I thought that was just kind of his like killer pencils.
I thought that was the style. Like, everybody just kind of looks like an action figure or some shit.
So does it seem more like a comic, or does it seem like more realistic in this?
More like a comic, and I think it just looks, there's like a lot of really cool like pages that just kind of like break the norm of just like normal panels and stuff. So that's really cool. And then there's a really interesting like writing thing where Superman was talking to like JFK.
And okay.
It's like Superman's reaction to when like JFK got shot and stuff like that. So there's like some cool, interesting like time things happening there. But I'm going to read it just because I enjoyed the art, and it's only 4 issues. So it's not like it's that big of a commitment.
Yeah. Like, the thing with the authority is like there wasn't a ton of plot to it. It just seemed like every other issue, like the world's going to end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's just like these huge, huge like threats that were coming to Earth or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it was just like a really cool team to look at.
Yeah.
And I think it was Gary Frank on the Warren Ellis run. So it was just like,
I think it was Hitch.
Brian Hitch. You're right. You're right. I get that mixed up.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why. They're very different art styles.
Very different, but still like top tier. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As far as like
top tier in their own way.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Brian Hitch like kills it, and it's like amazing to look at.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why it's so like
well-regarded.
Well-regarded. And then, yeah, like, the second volume of it is, like, Mark Miller and Frank Quitely. Frank Quitely.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I only see Manchester Black, so there's no, like, Midnighter or anybody else. But
who's Manchester Black again? Is that, like, the wizard dude?
He's got, like, telepathic powers, I guess.
Oh, okay. I'll look him up.
Anyway. So, yeah, that's what I picked up this week.
There's a really cool character that's, like, a robot lady. She's awesome.
Nice. Oh yeah, I know the robot lady. She's on the cover.
Oh yeah, this is like the British guy.
Yeah.
What's he do?
He's Manchester Black, and he's got powers.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess it is the normal colors, because I think it's Jordi Belair coloring him, and I think she normally does. So I don't know why it just like looked different, and I think it looks better. So
Okay.
What did you pick up?
Okay, so did you hear about a like Batcat special?
Yeah.
Did you get that?
No.
Okay, I might get that. I haven't gone.
I did hear that Batcat number 7 is going to have Liam Sharp on it rather than Clay Mann.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool.
That's fun.
Just for one issue, I guess.
Did you not get any indie stuff?
No.
It was just DC?
They didn't have it, I'm pretty sure. So what indie stuff came out?
So we got Bermuda.
Yeah, I wanted to pick that up, dude.
By John Layman.
I might have to go to a different store because I really want to read that.
Just go to Ash.
John Layman came on the show, told us about that book.
Yes, he did. We got Chew number 6.
Yeah, John that one Layman. Too.
Apparently, those are like the only two books that are coming out this year from him. So he's like, oh, they're both coming out today.
great timing.
Black Hammer Reborn, I think.
Number 3-2?
Three, something like that. Three.
Yeah.
And then we got Mother of Madness. It's an Emilia Clarke book. She plays Daenerys Targaryen in Game of Thrones.
Oh, I heard about that.
I don't know what that's about, but I'll probably get that just because.
Mm-hmm.
Skybound X number 3.
I didn't pick up number 2, and I don't know if I will. I'm kind of burnt out on anthology books.
I don't know. Anthology, I'm all about it. And that's about it.
Nice.
For me. Did you read anything other than the stuff you got this week?
I've been reading Sex Criminals because episode 69 is next week.
Yep. We're gonna
read Sex Criminals.
Yes, sir. We're doing
The Last Trade.
The Last Trade. Okay.
Because
it wraps up.
Just came out. And we're going to have Chip Zdarsky on.
Oh my God, spoilers.
Maybe I can edit it out if you want, but.
No, it's fine. Okay, yeah, I definitely got to commit like this weekend to just busting out 30 issues.
I read the first hardcover, and I opened the second hardcover, and it's beautiful.
Isn't it incredible?
Dude, I have questions about that.
Does Chip do colors?
Huh?
Does Chip do colors on it?
Yeah, he does the lettering, literally everything that's not the script.
That guy is so cool.
Dude, the back matter in the first hardcover blew my fucking mind. It's like some of the best.
Nice.
So it's really cool.
That's cool. Anything else that you can think of?
I've played some video games that are different from what I normally did. So
I don't give a shit about that.
I finished The Forest. This is that one I was talking to you about.
The horror one?
Yeah, the horror one. There's like, that game's interesting because there is like a campaign technically.
Okay.
But you don't have to do it.
Nice.
It can be just like a survival game. But I also like it because there's no like dialogue. It's all kind of just like assumed what's kind of going on.
Okay.
And so if you care, you can pay attention. If you don't care, you don't really have to, and you still kind of get it.
I love that.
But the idea...
I wish life was like that.
Yeah. The idea originally is that you crash land on a plane, and a cannibalistic tribe takes your son. And the thing is like...
Is that the horror one or this new game?
The horror one.
Okay.
And the idea is you can either just survive if you want, or you can explore caves and find... I think his name was Timmy. Like, Timmy's, like, toys or places, or, like, drawings of certain places you have to go find.
Mm-hmm.
So my whole friend group went to the end, and there's, like, a lab sort of deep underground. And it's kind of implied that it's just, like, a secret lab where they were experimenting with bringing back, like, dead things.
Okay.
So there's, like, a bunch of experiments on people where they mutated and turned into, like, the mutants that you fight in the game.
Oh.
So there's, like, a big monster with, like, a bunch of arms, or there's, like, a big spider looking monster that has like a baby's face, and it's like really disturbing. So you figure out that's why that happened, and then you discover that you find your son, he's dead, but you can have the choice to bring him back to life. But if you do that, it crash lands another plane, and basically the whole thing happens again.
The game?
Like, you, another person, another plane will crash land and start basically where you left off, and so you have the choice to do that. So obviously I did that, and then it just sets up like the next game, which I guess is coming out, because Timmy survives, but there's hints that he's a mutant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's going to be like the part of the next game. So it was really cool, honestly.
Okay.
It was a very enjoyable game, and like really good just survival stuff. Like, it could be a good game on its own with just that, but like also a really interesting just story.
So. I liked experiencing that through you.
Mm-hmm.
What was that new one?
I started playing a game called Valheim with my friends, and I guess it's like somewhat new, came out this year. It's basically you're a Viking that died, and you're in like this purgatory called Valheim.
Okay.
And you're just a Viking running around, like building your own stuff. It's kind of like survival, but not really, because it's not really hard to survive. But there's just like, you'll be running and you'll just run into like a huge troll, and you have to try not to not like die by that and stuff. It's not as exciting, I think, as The Forest, but it's still like a fun game to play with friends.
Sure.
So pretty good.
Nice, nice. I read the first three issues of Spider Shadow.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm
up to date on that too.
Yeah. I know four came out like last week, and I just haven't gotten it yet.
I don't think I got it either.
So I haven't finished that.
I think it's because they didn't have Marvel stuff, and I forgot to look for it this week. But.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll get the last issue of that.
Pretty good, awesome. Though. It's very dark.
I like it a lot. Super dark. Lots of people dying. Lots of blood.
Yeah.
I love to see it in Marvel stuff.
And he's thinking very dark, you know, because he's got the symbiote in him still.
Yeah. Makes a lot
great
of sense.
Great concept, too.
Definitely, like, definitely that's what happened.
Yeah. I hope that there's more what ifs off the back of the What If Disney Plus series, you know?
Yeah. I think that's there's definitely room for that.
I think that they are planning on it because Chip designed like a whole new What If logo. So I assume that
it looks sick.
They wouldn't do that just for his book, you know?
I remember looking at him like, that's pretty good.
So hopefully we see some more stuff.
100%.
What If is some of just like the coolest stuff.
It's obvious we're catching up on Chip stuff. Since he's coming, but I also started, Stillwater.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool. I'm really into the concept. If this was like a show, I'd be like, let's watch this all.
It would be a good show.
It'd be a great show.
Yeah.
I just read like the first two issues, and they're kind of thick, but I read them very quickly.
There's a character named Daniel.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's based off of me. I can't wait to ask him about it.
No.
Be like, can I be in the short list for the movie casting?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like a dude with black hair named Daniel. He's got a fade.
That's basically you.
You know, he's bad at his jobs, so I'm like, this is too close to home for me.
You could sue Chip for likeness.
Yeah. I didn't remember you asking me if you can use my likeness.
We can talk to him about it.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway.
Good stuff.
Ooh, and then I got caught. I'm almost done with the show for Sweet Tooth. I got one more episode of that.
Apparently that was like number six most watched Netflix thing of all time.
I know. I saw that. Isn't that fucking bizarre? Nuts?
Yeah.
No, it's like super solid. Like that. Really good. Did you catch up or finish it?
I'm on 5 right now.
7 is like a great episode. I was really stoked on it.
Yeah, I do. It's like the one thing that I will watch when I decide I want to like watch something, you know?
Yeah, I just like haven't made time for it. I went to Virginia last weekend, and so like I downloaded all the rest of it.
Nice.
And was just like watching it.
So you watched the rest of it?
I have one more episode.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, like this number 7 is like how like his parents met.
Okay, cool.
And
oh, wow. I don't know if we ever see that in the Sweet Tooth book.
Did you read it?
I read more of Sweet Tooth.
Yeah, I've also been reading it. Like, if I ever got, like, tired from reading, I'd just, like, go to the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, I haven't... It's weird, you know, they kind of rearrange it for, like, the show.
Yeah.
And so, there's some things in the show. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. And so, it's kind of spoilers for the book. but I've also been, like, chugging at the Sweet Tooth book.
Nice.
Because I finished, like, that hardcover or whatever that has, like, the first 10.
Right.
And then I got the compendium.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's sweet.
That's very sweet.
So.
Like the tooth.
I've caught the stoke on it. Like, I'm like, I love this shit. It's so cool. I want to finish it all.
Yeah, very cool.
So, yeah, I'm
excited for May's book from him.
Yeah, definitely.
And the one about monkeys. I think that's the show.
Yeah, definitely.
We're reading Sex Criminals next week for our Pinnacle 69th episode.
Legendary. Did you think we could get to 69 episodes when we first started this podcast, Nathan?
That's where we were going to end it, actually, originally.
69. Yep.
That's it.
Sorry, guys.
We've done it. But now it's 420. That's when we're ending it.
Damn. We're just going to be like 8 years from now.
I know.
Chip, you want to come back? I know. If like for some reason he's not making comics anymore and is like, I know you're not making comics anymore, but you want to come on the podcast?
Come on, please come back. I think we'll know if he actually won an Eisner by next week because San Diego at home or whatever, San Diego Comic-Con at home is happening like
this weekend. Oh.
So it might be his first appearance from winning an Eisner on a podcast.
Damn.
It's pretty exclusive. So anyway, good luck to Chip. I tried to vote for him. They didn't let us in. I think they just missed my email. So it happens.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But anyway, thank you everybody for listening. If you want to contact the show, you can email at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com or you can tweet at us. That works too, at tradewaiterspod.
Tell us what to read.
Tell us if you've read the Rick and Morty books or any more of them. Tell us what you think.
Who is your favorite Rick and Morty character?
Is it Aberdolf Littler? Is there more Aberdolf Littler in the books? Because I will read that specific issue.
Is it Mr. Poopy Butthole? Tell us.
There has to be Mr. Poopy Butthole in these Rick and Morty books, right?
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah, there would have to be, I think. I'm at more like Nate Thick on Twitter.
Dan Natividad on Twitter.
And that's the show. Thanks for listening.
Okay, bye.
Peace out.